Good morning. I'd like to welcome the visitors that we have with us. We have a number of visitors. We're very glad that you came to worship with us. I'm not going to call Mark Thomas a visitor, even though it's been a while. Friendly, nice to see you, Mark. It's been a while. Have a couple of prayer requests before we get started. Carolyn submitted a prayer request for a sister, Sharon Tate, who's a member of a small congregation in Cadillac, Michigan. She has been very sick lately and has not even been able to attend worship, but their song leader at that congregation, it's a small congregation, their song leader and his wife are moving, and it's going to leave a lot of the responsibility to their preacher, who is an older man. And, you know, God love him for, he's still doing it. But a lot more pressure will be on him. And Carolyn requests prayers, not only for Sharon, but for the congregation. So we'll remember them in just a moment. And also Glenda sent in a request. Her sister-in-law is in the hospital, had a heart attack yesterday, and she's requested prayers for a quick recovery for that. So let's go to God in prayer on behalf of these people. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. You give us such wonderful and rich lives. Please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. We don't want anything to come between you and our prayers. Dear God, we ask that you be with that congregation of Sharon's in Cadillac, Michigan. We pray for her that she will have be blessed with improved health to where she can attend worship with her brothers and sisters. But we also pray for the congregation with a man moving away that does a lot of work there. Extra burden will be on the preacher who's older. We pray that you give him strength. Thank you for the work that he's done all of his life in service to your kingdom. Dear God, we also ask that you be with Glenda's sister-in-law. We hope that the doctors can treat her properly and in the best way to get her back to good health and out of the hospital. Be with us the rest of this worship service to you. We hope everything that has been done and will be done is done pleasing to you and done in spirit and in truth. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen. We've got a number of things going on in the next few hours and next few days. The area-wide singing, the monthly singing, is today at 2 up at Bright Angel. Wanted to remind people of that. And also this coming Thursday is the day that we meet for bagging the groceries for serving our kids. That starts at 6 o'clock. There's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board in this second room here. The last few weeks, we have been looking at the church. 2 weeks ago, we looked at what the church was and how it was prophesied about in the Old Testament. It just wasn't a haphazard Tuesday afternoon thought that Jesus had, that it had been prophesied about specifically, and how it had been fulfilled in the New Testament, established on the day of Pentecost, and how the church is us, that we are maintaining the church today, the same church that was established, that is Jesus. Jesus said, "I will establish my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." We are the church, and we are keeping it going even today. Last week, we looked at kind of the differences between the church that Jesus established and religious denominations. I say many because there are some that have really no part and parcel to it, but denominations have bits and pieces of the truth, just not all. And we looked at the difference between the church and denominations. Well, today we're going to look at the duties of the church, duties of us. We've established that we are the church, not only individuals, but a congregation. There's the church universal, but we're just going to kind of the duties of what we have as the church of Christ. Some of the things we need to understand, first of all, is what we're not. We need to understand some of the things we're not as the church. We're not a social welfare agency. So many people that come out of the world to religious groupings, that's a lot of their idea of what a church is. They're coming to a church for social things, social aids. There's nothing wrong with us helping people. We as a congregation or we as an individual, nothing wrong with that. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is spiritual. We're not a savings and loan. We're not a bank. So many people, they come and they're just flat asking for money. So many people from the world come here. We will offer to feed them, or we will offer to help them put gas in their car. They sometimes don't want that. They want money. That's kind of a red flag right there. But we're not a bank. It's not the First National Bank of Jesus. We're not a social club. This is not a place to come, although we get a lot of social interaction from each other. We get that, but that's not our purpose. That's a side benefit. We get a lot of social interaction and a lot of building up from each other, from socially interacting. But if we're coming just to see people, that's wrong. And it's not a place to be entertained. Speaking of last week about denominations, I don't know how many people I've talked to that maybe attend denominations, and a lot of their comments are how much I enjoyed worship. And they don't even call it worship, but how much they enjoyed. Oh, the band was really good today. I hope people enjoy being here at worship, but I really don't care if you do. We're not here to enjoy ourselves. We're here to worship God the Creator, God our Savior. We're here to be built up by each other. I think we do enjoy coming and worshiping praises up to God. We enjoy, but not like we enjoy going to a movie. Not like we enjoy going out and doing something, going to a concert. It's not a place to be entertained. The scripture that Puka read this morning, and I appreciate you doing that, Puka. Paul wrote to his Timothy, and he says, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. That kind of sums things up. That defines a lot what the church is and what it's not. It is the pillar and ground of truth. And Paul was writing to Timothy telling him, I want you to know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, what your duties are. We have two major duties to others. And if you're following along on the outline, you will see that some of our duties are to others. As the church, we have duties to others, and we have duties to ourselves. Some of the duties to others is to teach them, to teach others, to teach them about salvation, and to be a good example. And being the good example falls right back to the teaching. To conduct ourselves in a way, I got a feeling most of us will teach more through our example than we do through words. We have more opportunities to teach by the way we live our lives, rather than, you know, not a lot of us ever formally sit down at a kitchen table with somebody and conduct a Bible study. Very few of us have the opportunity to get up here and present a lesson. So by being a good example and showing people about Christ, how a Christian reacts in times of crisis or trials, demonstrating that light, showing people how to maintain a faithful marriage in a time where divorce is over 50% in our country. Showing coworkers, neighbors, or maybe even our fellow family members how to behave morally, how to conduct ourselves morally, is probably, we have more opportunities to teach through the way we live our lives. In Matthew 28, we see Jesus giving responsibility to Christians to take that word to others. We call this the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, starting verse 19, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. Not just teach words. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Isn't that comforting? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. He's still with us. He is with us as we're carrying this out today. In Acts 5:42, it reads, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They are taking that message to others, sharing it, and they did not cease to do that. It was a priority to them. Acts 15 says, Verse 35, it reads, Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Wouldn't you have liked to have been a fly on the wall to have heard Paul and Barnabas? I mean, what messages that, you know, they could have given? I would have been taking some notes on those, but you know that that was powerful. And those with them had the benefit of serving alongside people like Paul and Barnabas. In Luke 19:10, Jesus kind of puts things in perspective. Jesus never turned people away. He fed people, fed 5,000 once. He healed people. He had compassion on people. He never turned his back on people that needed physical aid. But he sums it up here on what his purpose was about. He says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his purpose, spiritual. In the process, he did some of those other things. In the process, we do some of those other things, but that's not our purpose. Our purpose is spiritual. Our purpose to others, just like Jesus, should be to seek and to save the lost. In Matthew 5, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. By shining our light, by letting others see that light in us, we are teaching them about Jesus. And Jesus is telling us, we are the light of the world. People are going to be looking at that. And we shouldn't hide that light. It's the light is made to be seen. In 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That doesn't put any responsibility on our shoulders. You know, that doesn't add to the burden. That we are ambassadors. How are we conducting ourselves as ambassadors? As though God were pleading through us. God's using you and me to reach others. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Amen. We are ambassadors for others to be reconciled to God. There's a responsibility we have to each other. We are accountable to each other. And with that comes responsibility, a joy, a sense of duty of what we're here for. That we're here for each other. We're not running that race alone. We're not fighting that fight alone. We encourage each other. We teach each other. We guide each other. Sometimes young Christians that are maybe they're not really sure of what to do as they're learning. Well, you just watch, you read the Bible and you watch what your fellow brothers and sisters are doing. They will guide you. We worship together. I have been so glad that in these last few years, it's been a blessing to have been able to live stream where Christians that have had health issues or whatever can worship with us online. Those of you watching today online, we are glad that you're worshiping. But I'll tell you, and I think the people watching can testify, it's a great thing. But there's no replacement for being here together. To be with each other, to shake a brother's hand, to receive a hug, to be said hi to. There's so many of you that the moment you get in the door, you're going, I just see you. You're going around, you're hugging everybody. And you're greeting people. You don't just sit down and have that kind of barricade around you. I don't want to be touched. We greet each other. And we sometimes have to correct each other. We have to discipline each other sometimes. And the thing is, we defend the gospel together. We stand up as one in a world that doesn't see our tablet of clear thinking, biblical thinking. And we defend the gospel together. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you are also doing. I think of our congregation when I think of this. You know, Paul didn't need to write this to the church in Thessalonica. But he did. You're doing what you need to be doing. And we're comforting each other and edifying each other. Just a couple verses later, he says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. We covered this recently in our Wednesday night Bible study. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Sometimes when people are struggling, brothers have to maybe get on both sides and kind of pick them up and run that race with them a little bit. See that, be patient. Oh, I almost left that one out. Be patient with all. Yes, God. Be patient with all. He wrote that in there to me. Paul was just, he just could have put to Bruce on that one. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. This passage here, we had, I think, over two Wednesdays, we studied this verse alone, this passage alone. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We sharpen each other. We make each other better, hopefully. That's what it's designed to do, is to make each other better. In 2 Timothy, Paul tells us about the power of the word. The power that word gives us to carry these things out. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is what we're supposed to teach people. And then the result is right there, that we may be complete, thoroughly equipped. In Acts 20 and verse 7, Paul could rightly and justly say that, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I will say, as a preacher, some sermons are easier to preach than others, but they all need to be preached. And Paul didn't shy away from the things that were maybe a little delicate to preach on. 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 2, he tells Timothy, preach the word. And he's telling this to us too. It's not just to Timothy. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and be turned, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Paul would write in 1 Corinthians, by which you were also saved, if, there's your word, Trace, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. We as a congregation, we as the church, we as an individual have to hold fast that word which was preached to us. Or we've done it in vain. And at the end of this chapter, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. Always abound. I got to back up. That word immovable. It's not to be blown with every wind of doctrine. It's not that attitude that people have. Well, this is a different day than when the Bible was written. It doesn't change. Be immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And 1 Corinthians, just a few verses later, in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul would write, watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. He tells us what to do and how to do it. And it's not on your outline, but we'll close up with Luke 17:10. These are the words of Jesus. Our responsibilities are many. Our duties are many. But he says, so likewise you, when you have done all those things which you were commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Instead of making a list, oh, look at all I've done. That list of all that you've done are the things you should have done. You're not doing anything that wasn't required of you in the first place. We, the church, have a lot of duties to others to seek and to save the lost. And we have duties to each other. Let's not let each other down. As I'm running that race, and if I'm getting weak, I expect my brothers and sisters to pick me up. Not just stumble over me as they're going, or kick me as they go by, or kick dust in my face. And same with me. If I see you struggling, I want to help you up, dust you off, and let's get going back in that race. We as the church, if you need assistance, if you need prayers, if you need to repent, we all urge you. If there is sin in your life, you repent. If we can pray for you, we are here for you. If we can counsel and teach you, we are here for you. Those of you that are not in the church, if you'd like further study, if you have studied and realize that you need to put your Lord on in baptism, we are here for you. Whatever your need, please come forward. while Don leads us in the invitation song, and we'll address your needs. Let's stand and sing.